From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in. I trust that the Lord will do you good as we look at His Word today, as we conclude our study of Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, in which Paul is giving us divine instruction regarding the threefold focus of a godly life. First, however, it's time for our daily devotional Bible study, and today it is taken from Jeremiah 5:16. We're thinking on the subject arrows of death. Jeremiah 5:16, their quiver is an open sepulcher. This is the Lord's description of the armies of Babylon that were soon to assault Jerusalem. The rain of deadly arrows from the archers prompted this graphic description. Many a mortal wound would they inflict, many a grave would they fill. Theirs were arrows of death. The Babylonians are not alone in loosing this frightening battery upon ill-defended souls. We expect such firepower from a belligerent army, but there are people who, in a spiritual sense, wreak the same havoc, often while pretending great friendship or spirituality. Are not the words of a backbiter arrows of death? If you assassinate a man's character, are you any the less a murderer? This is why the Scriptures call a man who hates his brother a murderer in 1 John 3:15. Despite this strong condemnation, many a church resembles a battlefield over which the salvos of poisoned words, vicious recriminations, and other forms of verbal abuse constantly fly. Let us each learn to govern his tongue. Gossip, unjust criticism, whispering campaigns, and slander may appear to be harmless. They always do to the perpetrator. The truth is, they are not harmless. If you are guilty of any of these, remember, your behavior is deadly. The Apostle James says in James 3 verse 6, that the tongue engaged in such wickedness, quotes, is set on fire of hell. How much worse is it when we facilely proceed from such diabolical activity to the praise of God? Rightly does James protest, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Let us recognize the evil of shooting arrows of death from our mouths and cry for the sanctifying, cleansing coal from heaven's altar to set our lips on fire in a better cause. With a tongue set aflame by the Lord, we will proclaim His word to a dying world. Then our words will be arrows of conviction and messages of mercy, not arrows of death. Washington Irving said, "A sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use."
Thank you.
many of you have taken the opportunity to obtain the various resources that we have made available to you here in Let the Bible Speak, and we hope that these will better equip you to stand for the Lord Jesus and to serve Him. If you're not yet on our mailing list for our quarterly magazine or our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD, a sort of an electronic magazine, we encourage you to rectify that situation and to request these good materials today. In addition, we have a special offer that we think you should hear about. I have been noting for some weeks now that the World Council of Churches held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil recently, and that the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a good separatist Bible-believing organization, the General Secretary, Dr. Ralph Colas, went there as a reporter to Brazil, and his report on what was going on at the World Council of Churches makes interesting, indeed startling, reading. He lifts the lid on the utter apostasy of the World Council of Churches, and, of course, the National Council of Churches, which has in membership the leading main denominations here in the United States. So if you would like to receive Dr. Colas' report, and we would like you to receive it, then just write or call, let us know, ask for it. We'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. Let me exhort you, if you haven't already done so, to write or call and obtain Ralph Colas' expose of the World Council of Churches and its ecumenical apostasy. We look forward to hearing from you. Today we conclude our study of Titus chapter 2 verses 13 and 14 on the subject, the threefold focus of a godly life. We have seen the first two focuses, the Christ and the cross. Having seen that the Lord calls his people his peculiar people, that is, the people who are his special possession, we note that he saves them in order to make them zealous of good works. That will lead us to the third focus of a godly life, which is the crown, which God's people receive at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So with that in mind, let's turn one last time to Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14.
The Lord's portion is his people. We are the lot of his inheritance. Do you remember what Malachi says? Speaking for Jehovah, in chapter 3, verse 17, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. That's how God views his people. They're a peculiar people. Paul also here speaks not only of this precious ransom and a particular redemption and this peculiar people, but he speaks of a purposed result, that they should be zealous of good works. Now let me make this clear. The Lord purposed in dying for his people to save them from their sins. In other words, to make them holy. We read verse 12 that the gospel teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In chapter 3, verse 8, Paul speaks of this faithful saying, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. In verse 14, he says, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. Notice the necessary uses. Good works are not for your justification, but they are necessary to fulfill your duties as a Christian in the church, in the home, in the world, in work, in worship, in witness. Now, says Paul, I've tried to show you Christ. He's the great God. He's our Savior. I've brought you to the cross. I've shown you this great God giving himself for us that he might redeem us and purify us as his peculiar people, zealous of good works. Let that be your focus. That will certainly inspire you. Can a Christian have a sight of Calvary and not love his Lord? Can a Christian have a sight of Calvary and not love sinners as did his Lord? Can a sinner have a sight of Calvary and be bitter and hard-hearted and backsliding and worldly minded? I tell you, it's impossible. So Paul says, look to the Christ, look to the cross, and finally look upon the crown. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, even, that's the proper usage and meaning of the word and, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We read in verse 11 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. That's the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we read that he's coming again. We read tonight in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 concerning these two comings. If you look at verse 26 of Hebrews 9. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Here's our blessed hope. Let me just change the wording slightly here. Paul's talking about a threefold focus of the Christian's eye. He says, look up upon the Christ. Look back upon the cross. And look forward to the coming of the King. We live with hope. If you're a hopeless person, you're miserable. When you lose hope, you've lost the very key to living. You'll die off when you lose hope. One of the great tragedies of the day in which we live is the number of young people committing suicide. It's a national plague. Young people, statistically, are more likely to commit suicide than just about any other segment of the population. Why? Because they've been cut off from hope. Christians have a blessed hope. A hope that brings the happiness of God to their soul. What is it? My Savior died and rose again. He lives in the power of an endless life. He is now at the right hand of God. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the sovereign, and He is coming again. I don't know when. That's His business. And I will never try to tie Almighty God to some pinhead scheme of man's as to when the Lord Jesus ought to come. He will come at the right time, just as He did the first coming. It was when the fullness of the time was come. And when God in His sovereign grace has brought this world to the point where it is the fullness of time, He will turn to His Son and say, it is time. He has already said, sit thou on My right hand until He has pinpointed the time. And when that time will come, our Savior will appear. In the meantime, what do? We wait expectantly. Expectantly, we are looking for that blessed hope. We're waiting expectantly for that blessed hope. That eye has the idea in it. We're waiting for it so as to receive it as a welcome event. Now. Let's be honest. For how many Christians, professing Christians, would the thought of the coming of Jesus Christ under present circumstances be such an upheaval that you'd be scared out of your wits and you'd say, not yet, Lord, I have a whole lot of things I want to put right first? Paul is saying, put them right now and live. So that when Jesus comes or calls, you may receive that welcome event as the very gift of God. Here are the things then we must focus on. As Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. With this threefold focus, you will joyfully, effectively live in holiness unto the Lord, even if your surroundings are as vile as ancient Crete or modern America. Let me ask you tonight, can you honestly worship the Lord Jesus as the great God who is my Savior? Can you? Is he yours? Oh, he is the great God. He is the Savior. Is he yours? The only way to know Christ is by faith in him. There's no other way. Repent and believe the gospel. That was his great sermon at the beginning of his ministry, and it stands as the most simple and clear call that you can have. And whosoever believeth on him will have eternal life, so that then you can say, yes, the great God is my Savior. Live with your eyes on the Christ, on the cross, and on the crown of the coming Redeemer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy holy word to every heart. Speak to my heart. Fix my gaze on the Christ and the cross and the coming of the Redeemer. Do this, O Lord, for every man and woman here. We remember the words of the prophet speaking the very word of Jehovah. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak to every man and woman, every young man and young woman who needs to look away to Christ. There's life for a look at the crucified one. Hallelujah, there's life at this moment for any poor, guilty sinner who by faith will look unto Jesus. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bring the lost to Christ tonight. Gracious God, bless thy word to this end and give it this lasting fruit. Remember your people. We need to be a holy people in a most ungodly age. Lord, grant us that with our eyes on Christ, we may have that focus that will enable us to live by the faith of the gospel and produce fruit that will remain, glorifying God, adorning the doctrine with a godly life. Hear our prayer. Part us now with thy blessing. Grant that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the love of God, our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, may be our portion evermore. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.